Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only.
Welcome to another edition of That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
You ever see a steam pipe when too much pressure builds up in a boiler or something? What happens?
Are you saying that little pipe over there?
Yeah, that blows off steam.
Really?
The relief valve. Phil's an engineer. He understands. Has a relief valve. Why do you think God gave you a dick? It's to avoid stress, man. He needs a blowjob. But not just any old blowjob.
Isn't that funny? Women cause stress, and then they can relieve it.
There you go.
This is fucked up. Now, work up all your science. Very good. Quickly, we're going to give you two in a second. Then work it up. Look at you.
Yep.
Okay. 1 in 15. They had an abstinence policy, but 1 in 15 for me.
Yep.
Go.
I'll tell you exactly what it is from a scientific standpoint. I'd be happy to. You know what it is? You can't stop teenagers from fucking.
This is fucked up.
I know I'm getting old. This very week, I've sat on my balls twice.
This is fucked up.
Unfortunately, on this visual medium, you have to put up with this. Look at this. See? Larry, feel that.
No.
Oh, you're gay.
This is fucked up.
Hey, Phil, what kind of time we got left? Hold, I can't see it from here. What you got? 10 minutes? Lucky for you folks, there's 10. Whoa, what did you have for dinner? Jesus Christ, that belch.
Jesus Christ, I got
it. Oh,
I got
it. Whoa. Smells like a Mexican's ass. Whoa, what the hell's going on? Oh.
This is fucked up.
All right, welcome back to The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
And Larry, we're back after a little bit of a hiatus. Took a week off last week to sort of reset a little bit. Took a little bit of a vacation. But certainly happy to be back. Catching up on everything that's happened over the past 2 weeks. Of course, lots going on in politics, world news, just interesting things going on. But we're going to try to discipline ourselves to keep this under an hour. So we'll try to figure that out and see if we can get that done. All right, before we go any further, let's get set with the pimping. Larry, what does that mean?
It's pimping time.
Pimping! There you go. All right. Catch us every week on thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com for all your riotous needs. Catch up with all the past episodes, both video and audio podcasts available for free on the site. Show synopsis, anything you'd want to know about the show, check it out on thatriotshow.com. You could also go to social media, where I was accused today, me of all people, of being a shit-stirrer, Larry.
A what?
A shit-stirrer.
A shit-stirrer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's actually true. So, did I send that?
But anyway, check us out on facebook.com/thatriotshow. facebook.com/thatriotshow. Become a fan of The Riot on Facebook. Help us out over there. You can also join us on Twitter, where not only have I been getting the attention of various trolls and ne'er-do-wells, Larry, actually getting some traction with a lot of the libertarian outfits out there. Taking note, I know you had some contact with one of our, of course, a must-read for The Riot is Reason Magazine. On the web, Reason.com, ReasonTV.com.
Very exciting for me as a subscriber to Reason for many years. I had a nice little email exchange because watching Nick Gillespie, big libertarian guy. You can see him on Fox from time to time.
Hopefully he can delude us into thinking he's watching the show.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
But he's a good guy. He responded. I told him about the show and he said, look, great.
We need to get the word out some more. So check us out on Twitter. Twitter.com/thatriotshow. Twitter.com/thatriotshow. You can find us there as well. And Larry, we're going to get Phil, who has been a fucking lazy shit these past couple of weeks. But Phil...
Just the past couple of weeks.
Because he's smiling. You know, Phil is a Trump supporter. You know what I'm saying? He's not even secret about it anymore.
No.
He's voting for that asshole.
He's right out there.
And so Phil, stop gloating, if you will, for a moment, please. And roll it, please. The roll of podcasts. Check us out on your favorite podcast platform, iTunes, Mixcloud, TuneIn, Player FM,
Spreaker,
Podomatic, SoundCloud. I've lost track of them. There's about 15 or 20 of them. Check them out. They've probably scrolled by already. wherever great podcasts can be found. Just search for That Riot Show. And you can check us out on Stitcher, too. So check us out there. All right. Enough pimping Larry. Well, let's get to it. It's been a fun couple of weeks. If you're a politics junkie like I am and you are, of course, let's start off with, in chronological order, let's start off with, of course, the Republican convention and Trump officially made the nominee, Larry.
Yeah.
In what can only be described as the world's longest and most expensive infomercial for a New York asshole since quite possibly
Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. What a ridiculous sight, even by political standards, that Republican convention was.
Self-absorbed, silly. It just seemed like a stage reality show.
Yep.
More than every night had its own theme: Make America Safe Again, Make America First Again, Make America White Again.
And by the way, Make America Safe for Rubes Again. But literally, it was an infomercial because every solution to every scare tactic on that platform was just vote Trump.
Yeah.
Like, there was no actual policies. It was all about
it's all rhetoric.
How Trump, being the supreme leader,
yes,
like Kim Jong-un or whoever,
yeah,
how he will solve your problems, like Jesus.
Well, he said, I alone can fix all these problems.
Right, exactly. It's not the Republican philosophy. It's not the Republican Party.
No.
It's not we the people. It's I, the bloated and boisterous fake billionaire,
I think at this point, I really think Trump sees himself as a benevolent dictator. He's not, but he sees himself that, like, because if you think about it, even some of the earlier debates, he got into it with Jeb Bush at one point. I remember this, and he goes, we can't have people dying on the streets. And he was going on about, like, healthcare. And you get the feeling, because it is part of his previous position, that he believes in universal healthcare and government-sponsored healthcare. Here's a guy who basically just wants to do all these things. And his way of getting through the gridlock is just like, I'll tell you what to do, and you do it, because I'm smarter than you. I have the best brain. I use the best words. My wife sucks my cock, and she stole some of Michelle Obama's speech, allegedly.
Who knows what that foreign bitch does? Anyway,
listen.
The thing about Trump that I thought was hilarious about this is, and honestly, if I was a comedy writer, and I am. You know, that's the funny part, ironically. I could not write a script and convince people that a character like Trump could exist.
Yeah.
Because I honestly... So first of all, when he gave that ridiculous speech, over an hour long...
Yeah, it's like 78 minutes.
I doubt if he strayed from I am the best, basically, in that fucking speech. And then as soon as the speech was over, when they asked him what he thought of his own speech, you know, and again, just to show you the five-year-old mentality, he said, I talked for 76 minutes.
Yeah.
As if blathering on for 76 minutes in and of itself is an accomplishment for someone who wants to be president of the United States.
We blather on for over an hour.
I think I should get sec def at least for that. You know, I mean, come on. But that mentality of his, that he is really just a five-year-old fucking bully. And his rubes, I mean...
They love it.
They love it. They love it. The, like, make America great again. And just ignoring the fact that his own daughter came up and basically went against the Republican plank.
Right.
Now, look, she's a piece of ass. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, like I.
Which makes her right.
Which makes her right at least 50% of the time. Yeah, a hot-looking girl. Yes, I demeaned her by objectifying her sexually, for all you feminists out there.
Yes.
But that's what we do, and we don't care.
And if she's watching and you want our boat, head in lap.
I eat the coochie. He doesn't.
Oh, no.
But, look, it was such a clusterfuck. Nobody knows what's going on in that GOP anymore.
Nah.
You heard a lot of chants from the floor. I'm not going to say they were deafening, but you definitely heard a lot of chants for anybody but Trump. Certainly Cruz supporters wanting to be heard. Mike Lee coming out and saying they wouldn't even acknowledge us from the floor for rules changes for next time out, you know, in terms of procedural stuff, nothing even major necessarily, just tabling even the debate, you know, without any debate. You had a couple of defections from Republicans to Libertarians in terms of the delegates on the floor, like I think three or four of them. I was reading the Libertarian Party newsletter, and they said three or four of them actually, Republican delegates, just said, fuck it, we don't believe in any of this.
And in an interesting anti-Trump moment for the debate, because they gave him center stage, Cruz went out.
I have to give him credit, Larry.
He didn't endorse him, and he went, vote your conscience. Up and down the slate, vote your conscience. Now, naturally, all the Trump people just booed him, like, without mercy. And I've never seen somebody get booed like that, like, while they're up there making a speech. So the Democrats had their moments, too.
Yeah.
But Cruz actually, look, you know, it's amazing. But you know what the thing is? I know how his mind works. I know, you know, and he was criticized by every talking head on every channel. After his speech, Fox, MSNBC, CNN, I'm clicking like an idiot. And I'm watching this, and they're you never see these networks agree on shit. They all agree, oh, this was stupid, it was horrible, he's killing his future, and blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you how Ted Cruz is fucked up. Maybe because he's Canadian. I don't know. Here it is. He's looking at it as, I'm not going to endorse Trump, right? Okay. So let's say, from his point of view, okay, let's say Trump loses and Hillary gets elected. All right, well, he's still a secretary. And this is also senator from Texas. Very quickly, they all the stations did mention Cruz's ultimate endgame. If he can't be the president, he wants to be put on the Supreme Court. But here it is. Here's a guy who's looking at it. If Trump loses, well, I could run in 2020. And if Trump loses, I get to say, see, you people wasted your time 4 years ago. This is, I think, 2019, 2020. You didn't pick a courageous conservative. You didn't pick a real one. You didn't pick a real Republican. You picked this ridiculous reality game show dictator over here. All right, but if Trump wins, then he gets to be a senator from Texas, and he gets to keep doing exactly what he's been doing. He's made his name on. He broke everyone's balls. He fought with everybody. Boehner hates him. McConnell hates him.
Yeah.
Cantor hated him.
Yeah.
Paul Ryan, I don't think, has anything. Reince Priebus would probably kill him if he thought he could get away with it. Let me tell you something. So in Cruz's crazy world, if this works out for him, he could be the nominee in like 2020 if Trump loses. If Trump wins, Trump could try and stick it to him, but he's still a powerful senator from Texas.
I appreciate what you're saying, but let me play devil's advocate here.
Okay.
If Trump loses, and let's say Cruz ends up endorsing either no one or Gary Johnson, because he kind of indicated he might.
Yeah.
Then, don't you think, like, the GOP now being taken over by rubes are going to blame Cruz? Like, you know, Trump, if he loses, the first thing out of his mouth is going to be crooked Hillary rigged the election, and second, and fuck Ted Cruz and his father for costing me the election. Yeah. Like, I mean, there's, look, I think, I'm not a quite, and I'm cynical, I don't think I'm quite as cynical as you are. I think Ted Cruz, yes, he may think down the road this is to his advantage, but I think for right now and for the foreseeable future, there's no upside for him refusing to endorse Trump.
Yeah, but there is.
I don't think so. Not in the short term. Not in the short term. There's no upside, I think.
Yeah, but if your end game, just as he just did, if you really just want to be the president, he's setting the stage so that if Trump, he could say next thing, go, look, why'd you waste your time with that fucking bozo? You need
I understand, but he runs the risk of backfiring because the Republican Party is not the party that would have elected a Cruz like even 5 years ago. It's a different party now. It's full of rubes and assholes. I honestly think
but he still came in second and he won some states.
No, I understand.
It's not like he's Jeb Bush that he just got swiped right out of the way and go away.
I understand.
He's
but like,
thinking his end game is he wants to run in 2020.
I think it still took a lot of balls for him to do what he did, and for him to be able to I actually applauded the guy. I'll take it on face value that yes, like he admitted. I don't know. See, what was interesting was not so much his speech, which I thought was still courageous enough for him. I thought what was interesting was the Q&A he had after the speech, where he stood there and took questions from angry delegates. Like, a lot of them, even from Texas, were like, how could you do this? What if you cost the election, right. You know, blah, blah, blah.
But that's what I said. Everybody criticized.
Right. No, but everybody. But I mean the delegates. Yeah, even the Texas delegates. Yeah. So, you know, and he stood there and said, look, you have to vote your conscience.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, you have to vote for the Constitution. And people were booing. And he said two things. He goes, first of all, when did we get to the point when we're booing voting our conscience? That's the first thing. And then the second thing, he goes, I didn't mention anybody's name. So when I say vote your conscience, why do you assume that your candidate won't be of good conscience? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
In other words,
wait a minute. Now, the problem with that is the reason they're booing is because when you go up there at some point in the speech, you know, and you just saw, and everybody else did it, and everybody at the Democrat Party, the Michelle Obama, who can't stand Hillary, did it. Harry Reid did it, Biden did it. You, at some point in your speech, you have to go, and this country will be better when we elect so-and-so president. And since he didn't do it, and he made it, he went, vote your conscience. It actually sounds like, don't vote for this guy. Vote your conscience. So if you want to vote for Gary Johnson, Hillary Clinton, Jill Stein.
Right. But I agree with him, because I've been saying,
I
agree with him, and listen, I still think it took a lot of guts, because he was standing there being peppered. He didn't run from the questions. Unlike Trump, he didn't, like, start making fun of reporters like they have cerebral palsy or any of that shit like Trump does, okay? So it took a lot for him to be able to do that. Now, the second thing
that's normal for him, though.
Well,
he's negative, antagonistic guy.
And what's interesting is when he was making the speech, you could see the Trump campaign running throughout the New York delegation trying to whip up loud boos because they were the closest, they were the delegation closest to the stage.
Yeah.
So you could see, so the truth was, though, from people on the floor, that it was very 50-50. That, like, there were people cheering for Cruz and there were people booing. But because the New York delegation being so big and in front for Trump was really, and Manafort was running around, like, whipping up the boos and stuff and all that, right?
Too.
Yeah. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is also, afterwards, again, what I find hilarious is Trump... Now, I'm sorry, before we move on, and I'm
going to
the place. The other thing that I saw from a lot of conservatives and Republicans was, well, he made a pledge. Him and Kasich made pledges to support Trump if he won, and neither one of them was there. Kasich, the governor of the state that the convention was in, refused to fucking show up to the convention.
Right.
What does that tell you about Trump, okay?
They actually offered him the vice president spot. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. They offered it to him. He turned it down.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
But you see, that's what I said months and months ago. I said, he seemed like the only, when it was just Cruz and Trump and him up, I said, he seems like the only reasonably principled, like normal guy out
somewhat,
there.
You know, they he might offered be a little him, nutty, but he's a little.
They offered him, and Trump described him as, you'll be the most powerful vice president ever. And then he turned it down.
Yeah, good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
And these are people that at least you can, for the moment, you can respect based on their integrity.
Right.
But I thought the thing about Cruz is when they brought up the whole pledge nonsense to him, he said, listen, the word he used is abrogated. He said, that pledge was abrogated when he attacked my family personally. He attacked my wife. He attacked my father. He never apologized. And he goes, I've never attacked his family, so what kind of man, he looked the guy right in the eye and he said, what kind of man would let another man insult his family and then you're going to support him unconditionally?
Yeah.
Which I think all of us can understand. Now,
what I would like is I would like them just to do away with these stupid pledges. I mean,
stupid
you
on
know
their
why
part.
They're always stupid? Because here's the problem. They asked that, like, back in, like, August or September when it's just starting out and they're just starting the first debates. And here's the problem. Everybody's running thinks I'm going to be the nominee, right? So they don't think, like for instance, if I think that about myself, I can pledge to support you because I don't think you're going to win.
Right.
So since you're, you know, it doesn't matter. See, then the problem is when they lose, they, I don't really like this person. I don't want to support them.
Plus, there's also the typical political thing. Like you mentioned the Democrats before we get to them, just as a string point. Sanders and Clinton probably can't stand each other.
They can't.
All right? But for the sake of the Democrats winning, and for the most part because Sanders isn't that far removed ideologically from the Democratic Party, he decided to endorse Hillary.
Right.
Okay? The rest of those Republicans, none of them are anywhere near ideologically close to Trump, with the exception of maybe Carson, okay? And he was another idiot. So those guys saying, yeah, we'll support him. Well, Christie, I don't think it's ideologically. I think Christie, and I'm glad he got slapped down. What did he get in the new administration? Like transition chief or some shit like that?
Yeah.
In other words, he got Bubkis, at least for right now. Not, you know, we'll see.
He got like...
He got him in the ass is what he got. Like, yeah, exactly. But anyway, so... But anyway, and again, even when Drumpf is presented with an opportunity, Larry, to rise above it...
No.
He doesn't.
No.
Immediately after... So you saw him during Cruz's speech, he was peering out from the back, like...
Yeah.
Like, what's he saying, you know? Yeah. And then the next day, what did he do? He doubled down on all the family insults. Do you know what I mean? It's like, well, you saw what he said about Melania. Cruz didn't say anything about Melania. It's been proven over and over again he had nothing to do with the Melania poster. Then he started doubling down that, hey, I'm just saying, look at that picture. It looks like Ted Cruz's father with Lee Harvey Oswald right before they shot Kennedy, you know. And they said, like, look, why the fuck do you keep repeating that? And he goes, well, look, it comes from a good source, the National Enquirer, and you know there's been a kickback scheme, probably, where the more times he mentions the National Enquirer as a legitimate news source, he gets a kickback from them or something.
You know what it is? It's like Idiocracy, where the guy keeps going, like he says something, he goes, brought to you by Carl's Jr. And the guy goes, why do you keep saying that? Because I get paid every time. He goes, you're the smartest guy in the world.
But that's the thing, right? So, like, I mean, he could have used that opportunity to rise above the fray, right? Yeah. He could have said, well, you know, I appreciate that Ted spoke his piece and blah, blah, blah. No, man, he doubled down on the insults, on the five-year-old mentality, on the promising to get people, like whoever didn't fall in line with him. Did you hear what he said? Yeah, I'm going to get these people.
Yeah.
See, that appeals...
Do you know about the JFK thing?
Yeah, right? That appeals to rubes. That appeals... Yeah. To low information voters.
Right. They just like the rough and tumble and the attitude. And
for the first time,
like
Larry, for the first time in something like 60 or 70 years, I read, more college educated people are voting Democratic than Republican due to Trump.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you would think that with all the college kids and the professors and bullshit like that, that it was always a Democratic. Like, see, you have to remember something. Democrats love to present themselves as the intellectual party and the party of science and all this bullshit. When in actuality, they're not. More college-educated people voted Republican for the last 50 or 60 years, or college-educated men, I forget what the delineation is, definitely. And because of Trump, they've all run over to the Democrats right now. Trump has accomplished his goal. He built a stormtrooper party of his own, full of, like, stupid drones that just follow him around repeating stupid nonsense. And you can't prove them wrong. You can't do anything.
Remember one time I told you, Cruz was talking to two Trump supporters outside like some camp. He goes, just tell me right now. This Cruz goes, tell me one thing you like about, he goes, Donald Trump. The guy said he's got these big sunglasses on. He's smiling, big white. Yeah. He goes, well, the wall. The wall's like totally impractical. He's not going to build that. Lion tape! Lion tape! It's actually very amusing.
It's like the most ridiculous thing in the world. And, you know, and what was interesting was Gary Johnson was trolling the Republican convention. Did you see him? He was walking around the floor. Like, it was smart of him. He did that at both conventions.
Why not? He's a former Republican governor.
Right? So he's walking around over there. And it was interesting to me that when he talked to a conservative delegate, they were kind of in line with him. Because don't forget, economically, he lines up with the conservative base.
It's conservative.
It's the social stuff that he doesn't line up with. Right. And with the Democrats, he lines up with the social stuff, but not the economic
stuff. That's what I love about libertarians.
Right. So the interesting thing there is, I think, if anything, here's my prediction, and it's out of the world, bold prediction, Larry. Yeah. Cruz is either going to join the libertarians eventually, or, because he's too much of a Jesus freak, perhaps, to join the libertarians, he might decide to join, like, the Constitution Party or something like that, at least for the duration of his thing. I think he's not going to be a Republican much longer. I think at some point he's going to switch parties. And I think, hopefully, because of the whole Trump situation that was highlighted by this idiot asking Russians to hack Clinton's emails, like making public pleas for the Russians to hack and commit cyber crimes, for pretending like he doesn't know whether or not Cruz's father helped assassinate Kennedy and repeating the libel and repeating the slander over and over again. I can't wait for Cruz to sue him because Cruz is a lawyer. I can't, because of that, I think there's going to be some defections. Like, potentially, you have Rand Paul. Mike Lee. Mike Lee was booed off the stage at the convention.
Yeah,
and Mike Lee, if you know him, is just this old school, solid, conservative Republican from Alaska. He's not like this wackadoo. These guys, as elected officials, can switch parties. You talk about making an immediate impact for libertarianism in this country. What if you got Rand Paul to become a libertarian, like officially a sitting libertarian senator?
Right.
Mike Lee to become a sitting libertarian senator. Justin Amash, the representative from Michigan,
becoming a
sitting libertarian congressman, okay?
Yeah.
Because the Republican Party doesn't serve these people anymore. So if you were a libertarian, Larry, like we were initially, you join the Republicans because you say to yourself, well, I can put up with the Jesus stuff as long as because I think for people like us, the economic issues were the primary ones, at least initially.
Well, for me, it's always been economics and foreign policy. Now, John's known me for 30 years, and he knows that the religious people, not a fan. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
So, and it's always been a little tougher, for people like me. If you're right-wing from the Northeast, you tend to have what is officially called left-wing views on social issues, but they're really not. They're actually in line with keep the government out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, what it really is on those issues, each party just switches sides. Like now you've got the left, the pro-choice, pro-gay rights, like that. And the Republicans become the government, be like, well, we don't want you getting married. We don't want you to have an abortion. We want laws. We want to ban it. So unfortunately, the reason people think that is because on each issue, they've actually just kind of switched.
Yes and no, because while I agree that the Democrats were the ones who picked up the gay rights issues and the abortion rights issues and stuff like that, it's not quite libertarian in the sense that they want government to promote that shit.
No, I understand but that's not my point. My point is that when it comes to those issues, they're really not consistent with what is their natural ideology. They're kind of bailing on it to some extent. So if you're a person who's been like kind of right-wing on foreign policy, right-wing on economics, and left-wing on social issues, there's really been no home for you. That's what's great about the libertarians. Actually, but I will say this. What I do think Cruz might do, I think he might wait for like some moment that he thinks is fine. I think he might just come out and endorse Gary Johnson.
He might.
Flat out. I don't think he's going to change parties. Because the libertarian thing, I can tell you right now, I'm very proud of it. I've been since 2008 when I changed my registration from Republican. But I can almost guarantee you if he changes it in Texas, he won't get reelected. They're not libertarians down there. They're religious right Republicans. And they want a guy who's closer to the Tea Party than the libertarians. Because he got elected on the fact that he's a monkey wrench in the
See, to me, again, it's a difficult sell, but I think it could be done.
In Texas?
Here's the thing. Libertarians, for the most part, low taxes, get government out of my business, pro-gun, all right? These are all things that play well in Texas. What doesn't play well?
Pro-choice.
Well, pro-choice doesn't play well.
Pro-gay rights.
Pro-gay rights may or may not, because don't forget, the largest gay city in the U.S. is Houston.
It's Houston. Right.
So, it may or may not play.
But the state as a whole...
But here's the thing. People assume that libertarians are atheists. A lot are. A lot of libertarians are religious as well. They just don't believe in putting religion as government policy.
Right.
So, if you're a religious sort of libertarian, you play it off by saying, I have my personal beliefs.
Right.
I don't believe the government should infringe on personal. So here's where a smart libertarian...
There are even people who, as individuals, they don't like to get in your face about it.
Sure.
They're just, in other words, it's just like part of their life,
and
that's it. Like, if you look at Rand Paul, he doesn't go on about it. Like, if you ask him about it, he'll talk about it, and he has serious religious beliefs, but that's it. Like, he's not a jerk. He's not a Jerry Falwell, when he was alive. He's not a Pat Robertson. He's not even...
But that's what I'm saying. Like, someone not, like him...
But he is religious.
Right. He can play the libertarian piece,
right? Oh, sure.
But I think someone like Cruz could play it off if he just altered his position a little bit, which is like, okay, I'm just not for the government telling you anything. And if he were smart, he would play up the opposite end, like not forcing religious businesses to serve people, which is a libertarian position, right? Libertarians believe that if you don't feel like conducting business with someone for any reason, you shouldn't be forced to.
Right.
Cruz could champion that and call himself a libertarian. So anyway, so you have the Cruzes, you have the Mike Lees, you have the Rand Pauls, Justin Amash, and there's another Jeb Hanserling from Texas as well. Also very libertarian, okay?
Right.
In the old days, these would have been Goldwater Republicans.
Right.
Right? They would have, and for those of you too young, read up on Barry Goldwater, okay? So, to me, that potentially, Larry, becomes a tipping point for the libertarians. And I think libertarianism, I'm so hopeful, I'm so optimistic, that it may cause enough people to leave the Republican Party, at least consider the libertarians, if not switching the party, at least this cycle, voting for Gary Johnson, and then seeing what happens down the road. But I think this is very important, and I think it helps them a lot. But okay.
But they have to do some winning very quickly to establish some credibility.
Yeah.
If not, then you're just like the Green Party or the Tea Party, and you're
well, whatever. Getting on all 50
so
state
what
ballots
would be good
is important.
We do know that Gary Johnson is polling very well in Utah.
Utah.
And look, it's a state, and for the Libertarians, if let me tell you something, even when one
state, by the way, in the close electoral college,
yeah,
throws the whole talk about your monkey wrench.
Yeah.
It could be that if Gary Johnson wins Utah, which he has a shot, it could be that neither Trump nor Clinton win a majority of electoral college votes. And we looked this up just to be sure. If that happens, where neither one of them gets 270 because Johnson picked off a state and the rest of them are competitive. And if you go to 538.com right now, it has Hillary winning 275 electoral college votes and Trump just under that,
268.
Like 263, 268, something like that. So the truth of the matter is, it could be very close. And if Johnson picks one of those off away from Hillary or possibly from Trump, who knows? But here's the thing. If that happens, then you have a serious, not only because the New York Times wrote this, it's very true. The way third parties get incorporated into political mainstream is that they get popular enough that one of the other major parties incorporates their plank. Okay?
Yeah.
So, and as an example of that, look no further than the Democratic National Convention, Larry, where we had the just as much of a revolution, I think, as the Republican Party, just not the same sort of histrionics. Bernie supporters, they were threatened that fart-ins, like they all decided to fart when Hillary Clinton came in, but they were stoked already. And then the revelations from WikiLeaks, from Julian Assange, showing all the hacked emails that showed like how fucked up the DNC was under Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Donna Brazile, and the rest of these hoes that were all in for a vagina American being president.
Yeah.
Okay? That they wanted somebody with a fucking hole between her legs to be up in the White House, and that this was
so important
to them.
Specifically Hillary, though.
Yeah, because who else would it have been? But I mean, at this point, it was so calculated.
Yeah.
The strategies were something out of a Richard Nixon playbook. Hey, why don't we get in the South, we could accuse Sanders of being a Jew and an atheist, which shows you how stupid they are, because how can you be a Jew and an atheist? Jewish is a religion, and not an ethnicity, but leave it to rednecks, okay? Let's paint them as a Jew and an atheist, Larry.
Yeah.
Let's get them taco bowl people. That was their way of referring to Hispanics, taco bowl people. All you Hispanics who vote Democratic because they represent you and it's because they want to give you a high minimum wage.
And they're against the wall.
And they're against the wall, allegedly. Well, so are we.
Allegedly. The Democrats are against it.
But what I'm trying to get at is, look how they view you. You're nothing but chess pieces to them.
Right.
All right? You're taco bowl leaders. And the amazing thing to me, Larry, the amazing thing with all the, and today I almost got a headache from it, all these fucking Democratic supporters of Hillary's who just refuse, much like Trump's rubes, you're not that much better than them.
No, they're the same.
Why are they refusing to acknowledge? So to them, the big deal isn't all the shit that was revealed, but whether or not Trump had anything to do with it via Russian hackers. What difference does it, to quote your nominee, what difference does it make?
At this point, what difference does it make? You now know the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, let's say Trump got Putin to do it, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, you now know the truth. You know that cunt Debbie called up cunt Hillary and they had a cunt conversation and they put all this together, all to screw Bernie. You know that they only had a few debates to limit
exposure
and negative impact of debates on her.
The whole
superdelegates. You know that the superdelegates, which I was talking about going back to what, September? Okay. And I was talking about how rigged it is, how ridiculous. You now know that the debates were a few. They were on at times that nobody would fucking watch. O'Malley, Lincoln Chafee, Webb, get out of here. They let me tell you, they didn't think Bernie was going to go anywhere.
Right.
They thought she'd have this all wrapped up by Christmas and she could just cruise, forgive the pun, and let the Republicans like beat each other up. And it didn't work out that way. But I must say, Bernie looked kind of sick to his stomach during her speech.
Bernie was sick to his stomach and his supporters. Susan Sarandon saying that Clinton is worse than Trump.
Yeah. She's going to vote for Trump.
And oh, is she?
Yeah, she said that she's going to give two. Fuck things up.
Yeah, okay. So you can see what's going on over there, okay? And for all you Democrats who think you're above it all, I hate to say this, and I spend most of my energy shitting on Trump because, like, he's jilted us who were either conservatives or conservatarians or libertarians at one point. He's destroyed a party, so he gets most of my ire.
And he's also because he hijacked the party.
Yeah, and he's a very loud idiot, so he gets most of my attention. But let's put it this way. We've always said, Hillary Clinton is a lying, scheming cunt. That's the word for her. That's what she gets to be called when you're the presidential nominee. You get to be called a cunt with impunity. Okay?
Well, I would say that about her no matter what she's doing.
Right.
I mean, you know, I watched her speech and it's just more of the Democrat, big government, and it's like what you call statist, and it's all, and we're going to pass laws and we're going to do this. She wants to pass a constitutional amendment. Did you see this?
No.
Banning Citizens United and their illegal campaign funds. And she wants to appoint Supreme Court justices who specifically will strike down the Citizens United campaign funds.
I'm not as versed in it, but I wish my friend Dan Schmutter were here, a constitutional attorney. And he has a great explanation as to why Citizens United is so important. It's important not for the reasons that most people think, that it allows corporations to donate millions of dollars. It's important because it prevents organizations and politicians from shutting down the speech of people, that they can never do it effectively. That's why Citizens United is important.
And she wants a constitutional amendment on this, and she wants the Supreme Court justices who will back it up.
Now,
even stupid Trump.
Now,
doesn't say that.
Now, I mean, who is more of a threat to the First Amendment?
Yeah.
This dumb bitch that wants to get rid of Citizens United.
Or the
other dumb cunt, Trump.
Who wants to go after reporters.
Who wants to shut down newspapers and make
libel.
It easier to put reporters in jail that he disagrees with. These are two, like, Hitler tactics. These are on both parts, okay? And for the Democrats to pretend that somehow they're above the fray, what in the world makes you think you're above the fray? Bernie Sanders just went back to being an independent. He left the Democratic Party. He said he's going to finish out his term in the Senate the same way he went in, as an independent.
Right.
Okay? That poor bastard got fucked in the ass. He got fisted hard by Hillary.
And he got 46% of the vote.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. He got 46% of the vote in a rigged election. Which means, now, I know, I've heard people say, oh, he lost, get over it. It was close, but he lost, get over it. All you fucking Johnny-come-latelys to the Hillary cunt train. Here's the difference. The reason he got 46% and he stayed there and he didn't overtake her is because of those early primaries where people said there's no point in running, there's no point in advertising, there's no point of putting your limited resources here because you can't win. All the superdelegates are going to go for Hillary.
I also think, on a personal note, for Bernie people, I think he realized at this point his strategy of being incredibly nice to her and deferential during those first couple of debates, that was a huge mistake. He would have been better off. I know he doesn't want to do it, but he would have been better off if the way he did, starting around the middle, like the third, fourth, and then towards the end, he would have been much better off with that, where he was going after her with the Goldman Sachs speeches, with the money from Wall Street, with her ties to the Clinton Foundation and different
things. Anybody that goes against her somehow mysteriously turning up dead.
Yeah, he doesn't give a damn about her email. See, that was a mistake too. So he should have gone after her.
And, oh, and speaking of her emails,
the business
is there any doubt now that her emails were hacked?
Right.
And by the way, nothing would be more delicious to me than if Julian Assange and WikiLeaks follow through on their claim that they have something on her that they found that guarantees she'll be indicted by the FBI. That's what he said. Nothing would make me happier than to have the first female president elected only to have to resign because she's been indicted by the FBI. Nothing would make me happier than that. Okay?
I don't think Comey will do it under any circumstances, but I know what you mean. I wouldn't talk.
If it happens before the general...
I wouldn't talk just because she's a female. I mean, it's just her.
They're
like grifters.
But the reason I say that is because there's a lot of people, and I've spoken to them, there's a lot of people who say, well, we're willing to look past her shortcomings, as if a 57% negative approval rating is a slight shortcoming.
I know, this is the presidency. That's what bothers
both
me.
Of
about
them.
That.
Both of them.
If she was running for like city council, okay, we're going to look past a few negatives and she can be my fucking ombudsman or something.
Yeah.
This is the presidency, and you're probably going to be stuck with this person for 8 years.
For both these assholes, by the way. The two highest negative polling candidates in forever. Okay? No. They're willing to supposedly look past all this, and I've heard people use this phrase, because of the monumental, the meaning of this monumental moment, the first female nominated by a major political party in the U.S., the first female, blah, 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 they're willing to look past slight shit. That's why, Larry,
right.
I would take especially hearty pleasure in seeing her get indicted if she's elected, or just before she gets elected, because... Look, when Dukakis...
The same people 8 years ago.
Yeah, let me give you an example. When Michael Dukakis ran for president in 88... He was Greek, in case you haven't figured it out. And he was running as a Democrat. He was a liberal from Massachusetts. A lot of my family and a lot of my friends said, look, we're Republicans and we're conservatives, but, you know, we got to support one of our own. We're voting for Dukakis. And in my whole family, I was the only guy who didn't vote for Dukakis. And when they asked me why don't you stick together, support a fellow Greek-American and all that, you know what my answer was? My answer was, why can't we vote for a Greek-American who thinks correctly? Why can't we vote for a Republican who happens to be Greek? Because when you vote for a shithead like Michael Dukakis with his big, tiny head and that big fucking helmet that he took a picture in that one time and letting out criminals on furlough so they can murder people in other states, okay? Why would you want someone like that being the first Greek-American president?
Yeah.
Why? It'd be like if you voted John Gotti the first Italian president or some shit. Why would you want a fucking abysmal failure to be representing you for the rest of recorded history as the first of his people? Okay? So if you're a feminist, if you're someone who believes in equality, first of all, then you shouldn't be voting for anybody based on gender. That's my first point. But let's assume, like, you let this one slide. Why would you want the first female president to be this cunt? Aren't there better qualified women you could be rooting for?
Look, I supported Carly Fiorina. Now, if you don't think she was good, but does she have the negatives that Hillary Clinton has? Is she horrible?
According to Trump, she's ugly.
Yeah, well,
which is a huge negative.
Yeah, that's right. Go look at her face.
All right, now come on. But this is ridiculous.
There were better choices.
Right? So when I say I take great pleasure in seeing her get indicted since she's the first female, that's the reason why. Not because I hate women, but because those of you who only see her gender as the motivating factor and you're willing to look past all that other shit, okay? Like her being a fucking cuckolded wife and letting her husband fuck around and doing all this shit because she just wanted to move up the ladder.
She was a horrible Secretary of State.
Horrible Secretary
Libya,
of State.
Libya, Benghazi, I mean, you could go through the list.
Russia?
Senator, the reset button with Russia. The 8 years as senator from New York, and I've said this before on the show, and I told a guy yesterday I was hanging out with, I can't tell you one thing she did as the senator from New York except hanging out waiting to run for president.
But what the hell did she do?
I mean,
but see, to me, even if she did nothing, that would be better than what she actually has done. Like, I don't understand how people can constantly think that she always, like, she does all these shady things. She gets out of it, whether you think she legitimately worms her way out of it or someone's doing her favors. What does it tell you about the character of someone who is constantly in touch with the law?
Yeah.
The email server, Benghazi, Vince Foster. The commodities traveler. Yeah. The Clinton Foundation. All this shit. Like, the Tyson Foods thing. Wasn't it Tyson Foods? I think when they were in Arkansas, something like that, all right? It is this constant parade of shit that she has to make excuses for. Right. Where there's smoke, there's fire, man. And even if you think she's innocent of every single charge, why would you want a president that attracts this sort of nonsense?
Right.
Why? And why, if you're a woman, do you want her representing you? You couldn't find, like, Elizabeth Warren to support? I think she's a dumb bitch, all right? And she's a fucking idiotic socialist. But you know what? At least I seem to think she has some sort of integrity. At least nothing outside normal parameters in politics.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Bernie. I feel sorry for Bernie. I don't agree with any of his economic policies. I don't believe in his view as government as savior. But I couldn't tell you that I think the guy's dishonest. I couldn't tell you that I think the guy's a liar or that he's not sincere in what he says. I just think he's wrong.
There's a group called, I forgot it from yesterday, it's one of those fact-checking groups.
PolitiFact.
And something, but I forgot that, I think it's Truth Finder, something. But they researched everybody's speech. This is up until like last night, and they found that only Bernie Sanders' speech was 100% accurate. Everybody else had a certain amount of horse shit. And Trump had a lot. I can't wait to see what they say about Hillary's, but other people's speeches were all a little off.
Yeah.
The first night with, Michelle Obama's speech was very well received, but only his speech, they said, was like 100% like factually accurate. And he's the fucking socialist.
And you know what? Bernie Sanders supporters, if you can sort of keep it in your pants over the economic issues, take a look at Gary Johnson.
Yeah.
Gary Johnson, for you, represents everything that you would want socially. Economically, he's not going to appeal to you. But take a look at what he's pro-choice, he's pro-gay marriage, he's pro-legalizing weed. Like, all the stuff socially that you guys care about. Now, why
he's
socialists...
He's not in favor of those big trade agreements, which you guys are not crazy about.
He believes in free trade.
Yeah, but NAFTA, TPP, those specific deals that got hammered out, I don't know if he's...
No, I think he's okay with it. Like, he prefers free trade. He's certainly not a Trump. Like, he doesn't believe in tariffs or anything like that. But what's interesting is, like, if you can stomach the economic piece of it, which means you guys have to get jobs. But other than that, he might be someone for you to look at. Jill Stein, I'm afraid, is just a waste. That is truly a wasted vote. First of all, she's not on the ballot in all 50 states. Second, it's a one-issue party, right? Yeah. It's the Green Party. It's all about the environment. So even if you believe global warming is super important and all that sort of thing, it's like... And even I saw a lot of my liberal friends say, Jill Stein's really not a good protest candidate. She has no government experience at all. She's one of these Harvard elitist professors, sort of like Elizabeth Warren. She really has no ground game. She has no sort of anything.
She had a little rally in Philadelphia the other day with Bernie supporters.
Right.
At like the steps of City Hall or something like that. And unfortunately, because of what you were just saying, actually a lot of Bernie people, they had like 1,000 of them there, said they're going to vote for her instead of, because they went, no way I'm voting for Hillary. And they went through their usual mantra of Hillary Trump, it's the same thing.
So. And it is. And here's the reason why. And this is one of the things I wanted to sort of tie it up with. To me, the left-right paradigm does not work anymore. It really, truly, Larry, is simply a case of up-down.
Yeah.
You're either up with liberty or you're down with liberty.
You're up with the Constitution.
Or you're not. You know, and to me, that very much clearly delineates candidates more so than left-right. So if you follow, like, our paradigm, who's against liberty? Who's against the Constitution? Who's for more big, controlling, Borg-like government? Clinton, clearly. Trump, clearly. Sanders, clearly. Stein, clearly. Who's for more liberty? Who's for more choice? Who's for less government? Who's for fewer interventionist wars overseas? Just one candidate, Gary Johnson. Yeah. That's it.
Johnson and Weld. Nope.
That's it. So when you look at it as up-down, choices become very clear. That's why when we say they're all the same, we're not just being political hacks who say that all the time. We say they're all the same because ultimately they all believe in the same thing, that government is the solution and should be running your life. It's just they disagree over which one of them should be running your life. Right. But they all agree they should be running your life.
Yeah, there's a few nuanced differences there, but it's basically the same. You know, as soon as I get in charge of the government, you know, all your problems are going to go away. And that's ridiculous, because your problems are definitely going to get worse. So we can't emphasize this enough. Take a look at Gary Johnson.
By the way, before I forget, Phil, please, at the end of the show, instead of running our usual naked titties bouncing up and down during the credits, please run the clip of Gary Johnson calling Donald Trump a pussy. Can you do that? You see that?
No, I didn't see
that. We'll roll it with the credits. We'll even skip our closing theme music. Should we run it now? What do you prefer?
Run it now.
Run it now? Phil, run it on the big screen behind us, please. All right? All right, what do you say, Larry? Let's take a look there.
It was kind of a misfire on my part when I called him a pussy. Donald Trump's a pussy. But
yeah,
the point was is that, you know what? I've climbed the highest mountain on each of the seven continents.
Right. So Johnson, get him in the debates, folks. He's at 13%. Another rigged system, because it depends on polls. And polls, if they don't want to include your name, you'll never get the 15%.
But it also depends on ratings, because the networks want Trump and Hillary just there. Because they're looking at this as like the battle of the century. They really think this is...
So we'll see what happens. But listen, Gary Johnson, averaging about 11% right now.
Yeah.
I saw his highest polling average was 13% in an ABC News poll. So it is creeping up there. We got to get him to 15% in 4 or 5 polls. We have to do this, folks. He's the only one that can... listen, I've said this before. Go to Google... Joe Rogan, Gary Johnson podcast. Google Penn Jillette, Gary Johnson podcast. It's a perfect format for you to find out what Johnson is all about. It's him talking for an hour, answering questions, tough questions. What do libertarians believe? What's the worst thing about libertarians? And Johnson is very honest. He'll answer what he thinks is the worst thing about libertarians. Perceptions and all that. So definitely check it out. Give him a shot.
Yeah.
You could always go back to voting for assholes like Trump and Clinton. But just give Johnson a shot. That's all I'm saying. Listen to what he has to say.
Absolutely.
Keep your mind open, like we did. And you'll become convinced. Free minds, free markets, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Larry, anything else you want to touch on?
Well...
Besides this?
Besides my favorite. I missed you for 2 weeks. What should we talk about? Football's coming.
I don't talk about football. Too early. Okay. I haven't started writing my columns yet.
Well, I was trying to think of something that wasn't heavy. Okay.
now we're stuck because we're so ramped up about these conventions and stuff. Oh, did you notice that Bill Clinton fell asleep during Hillary's speech?
Oh, yes.
They kept panning to him. He just had this look on his face. So it's either he's senile or was asleep throughout the whole thing. I'm not sure.
I think he was daydreaming about a Hummer he got from like Walter Mondale's daughter, allegedly. We don't know that happened.
So. As a matter of fact, it's totally made up. So.
Oh, is it really? Well, he was daydreaming about something good.
Yeah.
Maybe getting it from Chelsea.
Actually, from Chelsea? No, that's bad. No. I'm not down with that. But I saw this meme, maybe we'll put it up on the back. It said, it was a picture of Monica Lewinsky sitting there, and the words were said, the meme said, I'm not voting for Hillary because the last Clinton president left a bad taste in my mouth. Which I thought
and
was
that's
good.
Not bad.
I thought that was good. That's historical. But yeah, so, all right, Larry, I don't know what else to say. I'm a little dry right now.
I'll throw this out very quickly. The two best speeches, if you saw the debates, clearly Rudy had a great speech at the Republican convention. It was really good. And crazy Michelle Obama, she had a great speech. She was very inspiring. She was very
Can
good.
Can you imagine how afraid they are of Drumpf's rubes when Michelle delivers for Hillary? Those two can't stand to be in the same room.
No, they really can't stand together.
And neither can Obama and Hillary, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what I thought was a great bipartisan speech?
What?
The one that guy, the guy Khan, the father of the Muslim officer who died in Iraq.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great moment, and I'll tell you why. when he came out and he said, Mr. Trump, have you ever read the Constitution? If you want, I'll send you my copy. Obviously, look, I'm not going to pretend like it was his words. I mean, it was staged, obviously.
All right.
But to me, it was a great speech. I know Phil disagrees, but it was a great speech. A, because it's true. I don't think Trump gives a shit about the Constitution. He wipes his ass with the Constitution. But the only my question was, and the only comment I had was, it was a great moment, but it was equally applicable to Hillary and Trump. Hillary has no regard for the Constitution, obviously. She thinks she's above the law. And Trump has no regard to the Constitution either.
And he was there because his son got killed in
Iraq. His son was an Army officer, a U.S. Army officer, who was killed in Iraq serving his country. And, of course, all the assholes on the Republican side were like, how come there weren't other Army vets? Why the Muslim one? There were only 14 Muslims killed in Iraq or whatever. Why the fuck do you have to be so goddamn petty with everything? That's the thing I don't understand. Why are you becoming like Trump? Why do you have to be so goddamn petty? When someone is right, they're right, regardless of party affiliation. Yeah. That was a great speech. That was a great little moment reminding Trump that there is a Constitution. Because for even you fucking assholes that support him, do you really think building a wall to keep people out is constitutional?
Well, even more unconstitutional, the ban on the people ban on coming into the country. That's... Let me tell you something. The wall's not totally beyond the pale. You know why? Because there are parts of that border already have like walls and fencing and shit like that. No, but that's not.
You're right. That's not nutty.
I mean, it's just impractical.
And it's not.
And it won't work.
Right?
And it sends the wrong message.
Yeah, I agree.
To the world. Right. But we already had fencing and walls along the U.S.-Mexican border. I actually even found out there's some little piece of shit will up in the U.S.-Canada border, but you know what? That's the one that's really crazy is that you're going to start blocking people from coming into the country, which he came up with after the attack in San Bernardino. Yeah. That's what's driven. Now, on the Democrat side, I would like to absolutely slam them on. They had a police officer came up and said they'd like to have a moment of silence for all the policemen who've been killed in Dallas, right? And some assholes from Black Lives Matter had to start yelling out Black Lives Matter and like booing and acting like assholes. These people are fucking scumbags. They're like the Black Panthers from the 60s, but stupider. So fuck you. You couldn't give a moment of silence for all the police? And that proves that they're not a legitimate movement that cares about that. All they care about is that they hate the fucking police. That's all they care about. They don't care.
Yeah, well, I never thought it was anything but that.
No, but they're arguing that that's not it. That they just care about the bloodline.
Yeah. Oh, and just to wrap up very quickly, don't forget, Islamic savagery still on the march in Europe. We had, two attacks in Germany.
In Germany.
A French priest got murdered in the church by Islamists.
Two guys. Yeah.
Look, there's a fine line between saying you can't be anti-American and kick out people just because they're Muslim. It's also ridiculous to ignore what's happening. So we've always said it's a tough line to toe. I'm not saying it's easy, but there is something to be said about you can't trample people's rights here, and you can't turn a blind eye to what's happening over there.
But I really worry about people on the left, especially like if they get into power. Like here's a perfect example. Some of the reporters, we'll take a minute here. We still have like four or five minutes actually before an hour, and we want to stick to that 1 hour. They talked to some of the protesters and the people outside of both conventions. Like one guy asked them, what do you think we should do about like ISIS? And he goes like this, he goes, well, I don't know a lot about ISIS. He goes, what's their position on global warming? And the guy's like, they're cutting fucking people's heads off. They're killing people. There are people like driving trucks like they did in Nice to kill those people in the name of ISIS and all this. He goes, yeah, because, but I don't know their position on global warming. I was like, oh my God. I was like, that's what you're concerned about? And talk about doubling down on your stupidity.
Yeah.
John Kerry, Secretary of State, I don't know if you heard about this. Did you hear about it? Okay, here's a good one. Top this one for stupid. He was making some comments. He was over in Europe. He was making some comments about ISIS and how dangerous they are. I'm sorry, he was at a global warming conference, another one. And then he said, it's hard for people to understand this. He goes, but your air conditioners are just as dangerous as ISIS. And they were like kind of looking at him. He goes, it's hard for people to understand. It's very nuanced. But the emissions, and he went through like the whole thing with your air conditioners, apparently are polluting the air so much.
Yeah.
It's just as dangerous to human life as like terrorists. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, that's really demented.
There's actually a great article, I think Reason put it out over the last week or so, showing you how ridiculous it is to think Democrats are the party or the voters of science. They actually are not. They still run around. We've talked economically how math is beyond their scope. But even other things, like they still think GMOs are dangerous, even though no studies have proven anything about it. You know, they are just nutty when it comes to things like this. They have this overriding need to think that you can, the world is supposed to react the way you want it to react. You know what I mean? And it's what Hayek used to say, you know. He goes, intellectuals, liberals, are just, they can't accept the fact that life is a game that you can't control.
Right.
And sometimes it's fair, and sometimes it's not fair. And the fact that if the globe is warming, that's just the way it is.
Right.
The Earth has gotten warmer, and it's gotten colder throughout its history. Okay, I don't know if it is or not. I've said that. I have read too much shit, and I'm still undecided. Pollution aside, because pollution is a problem. But in terms of just global warming?
Yeah, but pollution you can do something about.
No, I understand.
You know what I mean? In other
That's
words,
what I meant.
You just need to get people to stop polluting, stop being slobs, and stop, you know, being so inconsiderate.
And industrial waste and shit like that.
Right, but the point is, that's just humans just being slobs. You can actually
right.
do something about that. But, like, during her speech, like, just to double down on it, she did a little part of her speech, Hillary, where she goes, if you believe, like, blah, 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 whatever, fill in the blank, join us.
Yeah.
And she goes, if you believe your daughters and what should be able to control their bodies, join us. If you believe, and then she goes, I believe in science.
Oh,
and I believe that global warming, and
by the way, when did science
become
global warming?
Right.
I don't get it.
Because right now,
when science tells you that there's no such thing as men deciding to be women simply because they woke up one morning and said they're women, you seem to think to ignore that.
Right.
I mean, all right, if you think you're going to be these science advocates, and by the way, I'm a scientist, okay? Believe it or not. So I think I know what I'm talking about. You can't just decide what part of science makes sense for you. You're either a scientist or you're not.
I also don't like the fact that John Kerry, along with a few other liberals, have said the science on global warming is done.
No,
they
it's not.
He said that. He has said that many times. Hillary has said it. Bernie said
yeah.
it. And Obama had said it. And I saw Harry Reid said it once. The science on global warming is done. Let me tell you something. Since I'm also in the I don't know category, well, I haven't made up my mind. Because I haven't read as much stuff as John has. But like every once in a while, I'll read something else about it. Maybe it's over my head. Yeah. I can put that out there. But I don't think so. But I just think I'm unclear. But the science is never done on anything. All right, you want an example of that? There were articles today on the internet about the Apollo astronauts and all the missions they took up to the moon. They obviously, at the time when they went up,
yeah.
NASA, the science thought it was safe, sent them up, sent them back. They just had articles today that the amount of radiation that they were exposed to was enormous, and they're surprised that they even lived as long as they did, and that they all have damage to their like skeletal
right.
structure, their skeleton, like their minds, and you know, the point is, at the time, the scientists thought, well, this is fine. You know, you got it's never done, and you're always learning.
Well, science in itself is just people think science is a subject or science is just a description of a philosophy that gives you a process for learning.
For learning things, right?
You form a hypothesis, you test it, you analyze the results, you make sure it's repeatable. Start over again.
Right.
You're never done. Like, when you get to the end, you never stop. And look, very quickly, Larry, I'm
right.
sorry. I'm a data scientist now, okay? That's what I do for a living, all right? I just play with numbers all day. People pay me a lot of money to do analysis for them. Do you know that, like, in any given analysis, and this is math, I may have to do it 5-6 times, get 5 mathematically correct answers, and then have to sit there and do more testing to figure out which of the 5 is really correct, all right? It is a mind-numbing process. If I ever stop to think about, Larry, the iterative process of science, of learning, of testing, of hypothesis testing, of this and that, it never ends. It's not like a mechanic when you say, okay, this is what I got to do to fix this car. If I do it, the car will be fixed.
Right.
Or if I do this recipe, the cake will get baked properly.
Right, right, right.
That's not science.
That's not science.
Science is, like, that was a great point you made. It's a constant process of learning.
Right.
So you could say, it would be accurate to say, we know as much as we can know right now about climate science.
Exactly.
Maybe you could say that.
The other thing they do, though, drives me crazy, and sometimes you're like very liberal historians do this with things, but a lot of times you'll see these people, that they already have a hypothesis of what they want to prove.
Sure, it's called confirmation bias.
excuse me, that's it. And then they set out to make sure that they find that conclusion. That's also not science. Science is just supposed to be, you jump into it and you're learning, whatever you find out is whatever you find out.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be, well, I want to prove that your head is this shape because of whatever, and this is...
Yeah, it's confirmation bias is huge, and unfortunately, it applies in most of the soft sciences. For example, economics. Very soft science. Some people would say it's not even really a science. But economics suffers greatly from confirmation bias. I'm guilty of it, too. I think, for example, that the minimum wage is bad for business. So when I look through data, I tend to look for data that proves out my point. I'd like to think that I'm open-minded enough to find out the contrary, if it came up. But, you know, all of us have confirmation bias. It's whether or not you're willing to confront it that's important. But anyway, I think we've run. But hopefully you've enjoyed the show this week. Join us again next week when we will continue this silly nonsense. Until then, this has been your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larian.
Peace, America.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Lariam. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.